సమాచర
కార్యం కర్మ సమాచర కార్యం కర్మ సమాచర
తస్మాదసక్తః సతతం కార్యం కర్మ సమాచర
తస్మాదసక్తః సతతం కార్యం కర్మ సమాచర తస్మాదసక్తః సతతం కార్యం కర్మ సమాచర
అసక్తో హ్యాచరన్ కర్మ ఆచరణ కర్మ పరమాప్నోతి పురుషః
అసక్తో వ్యాచరణ కర్మ పరమాప్నోతి పురుషః అసక్తో వ్యాచరణ కర్మ పరమాప్నోతి పురుషః
యా బిఫోర్ యు లీవ్ ఆల్ టు టేక్ ద ప్రసాదస్ ఓకే ఐ ఫర్గెట్ ప్రసాదస్ సో హావింగ్ టాక్డ్ అబౌట్ కర్మ యోగా elaborately from various angles. Krishna addressed Karma Yoga from various angles and he concluded the topic by giving the final result of Karma Yoga, that is moksha itself. That's what he said. Karma Yoga, it is the only method to purify the mind, chitta shuddhi, and without purification, self-knowledge is never possible. And without self-knowledge, moksha is not possible. So that is all the summary. So Arjuna, you cannot avoid karma yoga, you cannot avoid this sadhana, you have to be in the field of karma, you have to fight this war, it is the duty of you as a kshatriya. And here it is an ideal opportunity for you to do your duty as karma yoga and ultimately you may be able to get chitta shuddhi and moksha. So Krishna talked about then the phala. What is the benefit of this karma yoga in shloka 17th and 18th? That is jivan mukti or moksha. That is the phala. What is the benefit of this karma yoga? You will get chitta shuddhi. From chitta shuddhi you can go to jnana yoga and finally get moksha. So that is the phala. You will get jivan mukti and moksha or moksha. And now in this 19th shloka which we just read, he concludes tasmat karyam karma samachara. That's what Krishna is going to tell now from this shloka. He concludes this series of discussions here. He says tasmat karyam karma samachara. Arjuna, do not think of escaping from your duty. Do not think you can run away from this war, however bitter the duty may be. This duty is not a very pleasant duty what you have right now. What you are facing is not. Because where the duty is of what? Is of killing your own kith and kin. That is the duty you are going to perform now. It may not be a pleasant duty. I know it is not going to be happy to you at all. I know. But it is not a question of whether it is a happy duty or unhappy duty. It is a question of duty. It is not a happy duty. Happy and unhappy are adjectives we supply. It is duty. All duties are nice duties only. Adjectives are what we supply based on our judgment. Duty is a duty. Therefore, it is our mind which perverts duty as nice duty and ugly duty. It is only our mind that does it. In fact, there is nothing like a pleasant duty and unpleasant duty at all. Duty is duty. Whether it is ruling the kingdom, or chanting Vedas, or fighting a battle, or cleaning the toilet, all are duty. There is nothing like pleasant duty and unpleasant duty, all are duties. Therefore he says, karyam karma, to be done, full stop. It has to be done, full stop. Don't question. There is no question of whether it is a shubha karma or whether it is an ashubha karma. All are only karma. So subject adjectives are not added to duty. So here karyam, karyam refers to that niyatam. We already saw niyatam kur karmatam. We already saw that niyatam, which is pointed out earlier. So niyatam kuru karmatvam. That's what he has told earlier. And samachara, there also that duty should be performed how? Samyakachara, do very well with all involvement. Don't just do it for the sake of doing it. Oh, kadanena, don't do that. It is your duty. You should do it with all good feelings, with sincerity, with shraddha. So it is, that is, we should take it with love, we should do it with care, you should do it, put all your effort with concern. Without any less attitude at all, it should be done. So enjoy doing the minutest things. in the duty, even the minutest thing, you do it. As normally, you know, people, what they normally say, a great man is not a great man who does great jobs, but a great man is one who does any job in a great way. So it is not great, he does call great jobs, he does, he's not great because of that. Any job he does in a great way. Therefore, greatness is not the type of duty, but in the quality of how you do that, the attitude with which you do that job. That is what the greatness, that is where greatness lies. Therefore, he says, samyak achara. Samyak achara, enjoy thoroughly. Whatever you want to do, whatever small job it can be, you enjoy it thoroughly and do it. Others may or may not notice. Others may or may not appreciate. Others may or may not reward. Does not matter. It is your duty. You do it well. As far as I am concerned, my reward is what? My reward is in doing the job. It is not somebody is appreciating me. It is in my doing the job that I am enjoying. My reward is enjoying my job, the job that I am doing. So, karyam karmam samachara, samyak achara. Do very well. But one thing, if you don't have the proper attitude, then what will happen? The very same karma, the very same duty, whatever you are performing, the very same karma will become a danger for you if you don't have the proper attitude. So Krishna puts the condition, he says very carefully, asaktaha, you have to do the duty how? Asaktaha, asaktaha, we already saw that earlier, like asangaha, with detachment. You have to do that work with detachment, asaktaha, you should do it. This actually, and we have defined detachment earlier. What is detachment? Detachment, we deserve defined earlier. Detachment means the readiness to accept any type of result. That is detachment. Detachment is the ability to accept any type of result, whatever may be the result. It may be according to what you expected, may not be, does not matter. You should be able to accept the result because you have no control on the result. You have only control on your action, not on the result. So, in karma, detachment means that, to accept any type of results. So, whatever God decides and gives is acceptable to me. That is the attitude. That is the prasada buddhi, which we told earlier. This is the Ishwara arpana buddhi in action. Prasada buddhi during result. When result comes, it is prasadam, Ishwara prasadam. I will not question what type of prasadam it is. I will gladly take it because it is prasadam. These two put together is called asaktaha. Asaktaha, or we call it asangaha also. We have seen this earlier, all these terms. So, when should I be detached like this? This question might come. Okay, you are telling, when should I be detached like this? That question never arises. It should never be asked. Krishna says, satatam, always. There is no question of, I can be detached now, I can be attached after some time. No. All the time detached. Satatam, all the time. If you do kamya karma also, for example, kamya karma should not be done at all. For example, you know, expecting something for a karma yogi, for a person who wants to be in the moksha marga, he doesn't do any kamya karmas. Expecting some result, he doesn't do. Even if it is done, even if you expect a result, there also, after doing the karma, tell your mind, right from the beginning, tell it, whatever result is going to karma, come out of this kamya karma I am doing, I will accept it. Because it is Ishwara prasada. Even for kamya karma, whatever comes, you accept it. Therefore, satatam asaktaha karyam karma samachara. Then if you do like that, what is the beauty there? Whatever is supposed to be a binding karma, whenever you do a karma, there is a palam. So it binds you, right? You get bound by the karma, karma kala, param palam. So, but if you do it with this attitude, the normally a binding karma, which is capable of binding anybody, will now become a relieving karma. It won't bind you anymore. It becomes a relieving karma and will become a medicine for samsara. Because we are all Vishaje Bhavaroginam. That is the Lord. Because he is the medicine for this Bhavaroga. We all have got this Bhavaroga as a samsara. For that, who is the doctor? The Lord. So if you want to get the medicine for this Bhavaroga, this is how you should perform your duty. So it is like a poison. For example, a poison which generally kills people. But if it is used properly, the same poison acts as a medicine too. So it depends on how you administer it and for what case it is being administered. In the same way, the very same karma done with detachment will help a person in getting chitta shuddhi, purity of mind. And finally, to moksha also. So Krishna concludes, asakto hyacharan karma. Asakto hyacharan karma. The person who performs karma with detachment, who is he called? A karma yogi. A person who performs karma with detachment, he is called a karma yogi. That is what? By doing karma yoga, this yajna or this niyatam, this yoga, we can call it by this dharma, all are same, all are synonymous. Purushaha param apunoti. Purushaha and Purushaha are same. Purushaha yoga, Purushaha. For the sake of meter, they have put it as Purushaha. It is only Purushaha only. So what happens to him? Param apunoti. He attains the supreme. Param. He attains the supreme. He attains Brahman. He attains moksha. Of course, we should understand it is in stages. Not by doing karma yoga, he cannot get moksha. It is in stages. So because in these lines, people might, you know, they may be led to think. They can carefully, they have to understand carefully. Because Krishna tells karma, for people, by doing karma, people can attain moksha. A person cannot say, well, I will keep on doing karma, I should get moksha. It doesn't work. People have to go through only stages. That is why we have to properly understand. We have to add gradually or in stages, he attains moksha. By being a karma yogi, he gradually attains moksha. In stages, he attains moksha. By karma yoga, he gets chitta shuddhi. Then he becomes fit for Vedanta vichara. And by that, he gains jnanam. And jnanam leads to moksha. That is the stages. That's why Shankaracharya always he writes, chitta shuddhi jnana prapti kramena. That's what he says. Chitta shuddhi jnana prapti kramena moksha apnoti. He attains moksha by this krama. By this order. That's how he gets. He gets moksha in stages. So with this one part of this chapter is over. With this particular discussion, one part of this chapter is over. Here what Krishna has established, karma yoga is an ideal method for gaining moksha. That is what Krishna has established in this discussion. Now, between the two ways of life that we talked about earlier in the beginning, that is an active life and there is a secluded life. Right? There are two types of life. Krishna talked in the beginning itself. Active life and a secluded life. And Krishna now proceeds to say that active life is always better than secluded life. Grihastashrama is better than sannyasashrama. That's what he says. So therefore, take to an active way of life. Take to karma yoga. Gain jnanam and be liberated right now. Here and now you can be liberated. You don't have to wait for the next janma to be liberated. You can be liberated here and now, right now, in grihastashrama itself, if you follow these stages, this krama. Then from the next shloka onwards, Krishna is going to talk about doing karma from totally a different angle. So far we have seen in this angle. Now he is going to talk about doing karma from a totally different angle, from another angle. So till now Krishna took Arjuna as an ajnani. We have to understand. He took Arjuna as an ajnani. Ajnani only needs to have purification of mind. Then only he has to, for him he needs chitta shuddhi. For that he has to do karma yoga. Then he has to go through jnana yoga. All those things ajnani has to do. But Arjuna may claim, they are all for ajnanis. I am a jnani. He may claim. Nobody, we can always claim, right? You can always nominate yourself for Nobel Prize. Nobody will stop you. Whether they give or not, it's a different question. You can always nominate. So this guy, he may say that I am a jnani. If he considers himself to be a jnana, in that case also, he has to be still doing karma. Why should he be doing karma? Krishna is going to discuss from the next shloka onwards.
Karma naivahi samsiddhyam.
Asthita janakadayaha.
Karma naivahi samsiddhim. Asthita janakadayaha.
Loka sangrahame vapi.
Sampashyan kartum arhasi. Loka sangraha me vapi sampashyan kartum arhasi.
So we will go to the earlier discussion we had, that Krishna said that a person has a choice in the lifestyle. We said lifestyle earlier. A person can choose either a life of a grihastha, an active lifestyle, remaining in society as an active person. He can be doing that. He can take to otherwise sannyasa and lead a secluded life. These are the two lifestyles a person can take. So there is a choice in the lifestyle, but in the sadhana, there is no choice. That's what we said earlier. In the choice, there is choice in the lifestyle. But in the sadhana, there is no choice at all. Everyone has to purify their mind and only later they can gain knowledge. So in this sadhana, there is no difference. Whether you are a grahastha or a sannyasi, does not matter. Everybody has to get mind purified first and then go through this jnana marga to gain knowledge. So that is fundamental thing that we have seen earlier. So this is the fundamental principle of the entire scriptures. Vedic scripture only tells this. This is what is prescribed in the Vedas. Now, Krishna gave his personal opinion also. So, when there is a choice between an active lifestyle and a secluded lifestyle, Krishna said, for majority of people, an active lifestyle is be better than the other. That's what Krishna said, for majority of people. So, Krishna favored grahastha ashrama rather than sannyasa ashrama. That's what Krishna said. In fact, throughout Gita, Krishna mostly supports only grahastha ashrama. Throughout Gita, that's what he does. So he says, live in the grahastha ashrama, have family, have children, fulfill all your duties, but one must live in such a way that life should not become a bondage for that person. You go through the entire thing, no problem, but life should not be a bondage for you. One must convert the responsibilities as an ideal field for spiritual progress. All the responsibilities that we go through, all the actions that we do, they should all be taken as an ideal field for getting myself up into the spiritual field. There lies actually the greatness. It is like building a castle by using the stones thrown at you. Now you know there's a problem. Using the stones thrown at you, you build a castle. So this is the attitude one should have. So convert the very field of activity into a field of worship. And purify and get knowledge, self-knowledge. That's what Krishna says. This is the topic here. This was topic so far. Now, Arjuna may wonder whether it is possible at all. You said all this, that's all, looks very nice to hear. The moment I get out of the class, then only I have problem. You are not in there, I am there. Right? This is the problem for everybody. So, Arjuna might argue with Krishna, everything is nice to hear, but is it at all possible? Can you ever do that like that? Can a person ever remain home with umpteen problems? The moment problems, there are problems galore in home. So many problems are there. In Tamil we call it pudungal. So many problems are there. Everywhere there is problem. Constant tension. Always it is there. One may wonder, is this just only a philosophy for talked for all this, you know, academic purposes, or to talk, is it, can it be practiced at all or not? That question may arise. It will arise to everybody. So, this doubt might have come to Arjuna. Definitely, he would have come to Arjuna also. Or he might have perhaps indicated by raising his eyebrow or something. Hey Krishna, what? You are telling all these things. Is it at all possible? He might have perhaps told. So, Krishna assumes all this and he tries to answer. So, Krishna says, I will give you now examples of people who have lived an active life, who have been liberated but remaining still in grahastha life. They have been staying in grahastha life, but they have been liberated. I will give you examples of such people. One such example Krishna gives in the first line here is the example of King Janaka. Mm-hmm. Janaka is the example. Now, Janaka was what? He was an emperor. Now, you can imagine perhaps the responsibilities of an emperor. Not responsibility, even the responsibility of our own home. Income tax, or you head of household. People are happy to perhaps stick that, whatever it is. Head of household comes with so many ifs and buts. All the responsibilities associated with just head of household. Now head of a state, head of a country, head of an empire. He is the, for that person, what will be the problems he will have. Think of a president, think of a prime minister, whomsoever it is. Such people, if they are conscious. So even to occupy the status of a president, we can imagine the tension that person has to go through. All the pulls, how many strings have to be pulled, all those things, the problems. And Janaka was such an emperor. He was such a ruler. And in spite of that, he became one of the greatest jnanis in history. K. King Janaka, was considered to be one of the greatest jnanis in history. He became a jnani to such an extent that even sannyasis and the other rishis go to him for advice. They go to him for learning. That is how the fame of Janaka was. And if you really find in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, the most of the time, even rishis, they were from forest, they go to Janaka's court. They are in forest. They go to Janaka's court to know something or the other from King Janaka. And King Janaka teaches all these rishis also. Actually, Janaka respects the sannyasis outward. He will. Because he says to them, in some places he says, you cannot prostrate me. Because these rishis, they come there and because he is teacher, they prostrate him. He says, you cannot prostrate me. Because I am a kshatriya. You are a brahmana. And you are sannyasashrami. I am a grahastha. So you cannot, in varna you are superior. In the ashrama you are superior. So you cannot prostrate me. King Janaka will tell them. So you cannot prostrate me, but still I know something more than what you people know. Therefore, I am ready to teach you if you want to know. And Janaka teaches them. He respects these things and becomes a teacher to such rishis. That is King Janaka. And often, whenever there is a debate about a very, very advanced topic, spiritual topic, and when they want a mediator, the rishis always go to Janaka. That is the knowledge of that person. So we find the glory of Janaka very much in the Vedas themselves, in the Puranas, everywhere. King Janaka is glorified. In Ramayana, everywhere he is glorified. And even they tell normally a story. How some Brahmins, they went and asked King Janaka the same question. Everybody asked the same question. What question? You are a grahastha, living with all these responsibilities, but how you can be a jnani? Same question everybody asks him again and again and again. They all ask him. So is it at all possible to remain in Vyavahara and remember Vedanta? He is in Vyavahara all the time, but remember Vedanta. What is Vedanta? Aham Brahmasmi. That you remember all the time. How can you do that, remaining in Vyavahara? They ask how Janaka managed this greatest feat. They always ask him, and for that, the Janaka way he answers him, he invites them for a meal. Nice dinner. Now, it is not the invitation, it is an order from the king. Emperor has called. They cannot say, I will come tomorrow. They have to come. They all come. The moment they all come, they all have to be seated in a hall, so food will be all nicely served. But there will be a sword dangling above their head with a like hair like small string. It can fall any time. They have to sit underneath and eat. So food is all served. Everything is nice. Now Janaka will ask them at the end of the food, nobody can eat, right? Who can eat with that? It can hang. Anytime it will be cut. Janaka asks, how the meal is? What meal? All the time we are thinking of that sword hanging over our head. Where is the meal? Then Janaka says, that is how you should be. All the time at the back of your mind, what should be the thinking? Aham Brahmasmi. All other actions I am doing are all superficial. This should be there in and through every one of your thinking. Should be there all the time. I am Brahman Asangaha. I am detached. All these things are happening in my field. Fine. They will be happening. I cannot stop them. I can be also enjoying with them. No problem. But all the time I know I am Brahman. So this thought should be there. Have you got that thought doing this? That is how he communicates to them. How that constant attention, alertness about your Swaswarupa Jnana, your own nature should be there all the time. That's what he does. So this is what Janaka does. So he will be doing all the jobs that he will be remaining in all activity. Pashyan, we are going to see all those shlokas later. Pashyan, Shrinvan, Sprishan, Jigran, all those activities he will be seeing, he will be touching, he will be eating, all these things he will be doing. But he should remember all the time, even among, as he is doing the activities, he will know Aham Brahma Asmi. That consciousness will be there all the time for that jnani. Okay. So Janaka is taken as the greatest example. And the very name of Janaka is Videhaha. Janaka's name is Videhaha. Videhaha means a person, you know, it's in Vedas he is also referred as Videhaha. One who is bodiless is Videha. Bodiless means what? Who is out of body consciousness. All of us, we are all conscious of the body. Whereas he is not conscious of the body, he is Videhaha, the one who is ever established in the self, in the Atman and not in the body. the body consciousness is never there for Janaka. That is why he is called Videgaha. And there is another emperor also like Janaka. He is Ashwapati. Ashwapati is the father of Kaikeyi. Kaikeyi's father is a great jnani. So he is also another a king who was an emperor, a great king. He is also a great Brahmajnani. So the Janaka, Ashwapati, such people, Prabhadeya, many such people, they remained in the field of activity. They were grihasthas. They did not take sannyasa ashrama, but they were all Vedantins. Such people were there. So the very Yoga Vasishta, this Yoga Vasishta means for Ramayana, after Rama fulfilled all the duties, he was taught Vedanta. So it is Yoga Vasishta. That's what he is taught. So Rama himself is Kshatriya. After doing his duty, he goes to Vasishta and he learns Vedanta from him. He does. So the idea is what? Remaining in Grahastha Ashrama, remaining in the field of activity, remaining in family life, one can get moksha through jnana. And Krishna says, Karmana evahi janakadeha samsiddhim astita. Karmana sahayeva. Remaining in the field of karma alone. Remaining in karma alone without giving up their duty. Janakadeha samsiddhim astita. People like Janaka, Janakadeha, people like Janaka attained knowledge. Samsiddhim astita. Attained knowledge and liberation. They attained. And therefore, Arjuna, you do the same thing like them. If you consider reverse as a jnani, you also do that. So, up to this actually, this is the first topic, karma yoga topic. Up to this, we can take it. In fact, the topic is changed only in the second line. In the second line of this shloka. What is the change in topic? We indicated actually in the previous class itself, in the previous discussion itself, that is till now, Krishna assumed Arjuna to be an Ajnani. He's not a person who is not self-realized. Ajnani he is. And he asked Arjuna to practice Karma Yoga. Do all these things, get Chitta Shuddhi, all those things. Later become a Jnani. Now here afterwards, Krishna is going to take Arjuna in a different way. He is going to take Arjuna in a different way. Suppose Arjuna is already a jnani. What would be the case? That's what Krishna is taking now. So question is, does jnani require karma yoga or not? That is the question. Does jnani, if Arjuna is already a jnani, does he have to go through karma yoga or not? If you really think a little better, you would have immediately concluded what a stupid question this teacher is asking. Anyway, I will come to that a little bit. Jnani does not require karma yoga at all. Because karma yoga is what? Is the means of gaining jnana. It's only a means. And jnana is the final end. Jnana is the final thing. After attaining the end, no one requires karma yoga at all. Yeah, jnana is the final end. You use karma yoga to attain jnana. It's only a means. End is jnana. Having attained jnana, you would be about the means. That is why we should remember that jnani does not require karma yoga at all. Jnani does not require karma yoga, upasana, jnana yoga. None of those things are needed for a jnani. He does not need any of those yoga at all. So we should never say a jnani, like for example people say Vivekananda is a jnani, they will say. A jnani, he is a great karma yogi. It doesn't work, right? He is a jnani. You should not say he is a karma yogi. He is a jnani. Jnani means jnani, period. He is not a karma yogi. Karma yoga and all he has gone through. That means if you say he is a karma yogi, he is an ajnani. He is not a karma yogi, he is a jnani. So we should remember that karma yogi, upasaka, jnana yogi, all are ajnanis only. Karma yogi, upasaka, jnana yogi, all these people are only ajnanis. They are all still striving to gain knowledge. Whereas a jnani has already gained knowledge. So if you say Vivekananda is a jnani, don't call him a karma yogi. He is a jnani. Therefore, jnani will not be any of these things, or whatever we said, jnana yogi, karma yogi, all those. So Arjuna can claim, I am a jnani. Then I do not require karma yoga. That means I don't have to fight. Right? I don't need karma yoga. I don't have to fight now. I don't have to fight this battle. I can go away. He can take that approach. Because I am a jnani. No need for karma yoga. I can leave. Now Krishna says, Arjuna, even if you are a jnani, then also you should fight this war. That's what Krishna says. Even if you think you are a jnani, you have to still fight this jnana war. For what purpose you have to fight this war? It cannot be for karma yoga. Right? He is jnani. No karma yoga is needed. Then it is for what purpose? Krishna says, loka sangraha mevapi sampashyanne. Loka sangraha, with an idea of guiding the world, with the idea of uplifting the world. Loka sangraha. You have to set a good example to the world. You are a Kshatriya, a Grahastha. You should set a good example to the world. So if Jnani performs an action, we do not call that action a Karma Yoga. When a Jnani performs an action, Jnani also will perform actions. We don't call it Karma Yoga or Karma, we call it Loka Sangraha. Okay? Sangraha means upliftment. Upliftment or welfare. Loka means the world. So the welfare of the world, he does action for the welfare of the world. He does action for the upliftment of the people. That is what the action done by a Jnani. You don't call it Karma Yoga or Karma, you call it that is a Loka Sangraha. So all the activities of a Jnani, they are called Loka Sangraha. We say Adi Shankara did Loka Sangraha. We don't say Adi Shankara did that karma and this karma. Did Loka Sangraha. That's what we say. We don't say he did Karma Yoga. And Jnani, we should always call it Loka Sangraha. Right? And hey Arjuna, you should do the action with the attitude of Loka Sangraha. So Loka Sangraha mevapi sampashyanne kartum arhasi. Seeing the well-being of the world, seeing the well-being of the people of the world, at least kartum arhasi, you should do the karma. So you should do the karma, at least thinking of the welfare of the people. You should still do the karma. Now, naturally, what will be our question? What exactly do we mean by the word Loka Sangraha? Okay, you say upliftment of the people. What do you mean by that? That question will naturally come. Does it come or not? Yes, okay. So, we will ask that question, what do you mean by uplifting the people, Loka Sangraha? So, now on, Krishna is going to explain this term, Loka Sangraha, up to sloka number 29. From the next sloka until 29, this Loka Sangraha discussion is going to take place. Krishna will explain the term Loka Sangraha. Yadyada acharati shreshtaha.
Yadyada acharati shreshtaha. Yadyada acharati shreshtaha.
Tatta deveta rojanaha.
Tatta deveta rojanaha. Tatta deveta rojanaha.
Yadyada acharati shreshtaha. Tatta deveta rojanaha.
Yadyada acharati shreshtaha. Tatta deveta rojanaha. Yadyada acharati shreshtaha. Tatta deveta rojanaha.
Sayat pramanam kurute.
Sayat pramanam kurute. Sayat pramanam kurute.
Lokastadanu vartate.
Lokastadanu vartate. Lokastadanu vartate.
Sayat pramanam kurute. Lokastadanu vartate.
Sayat pramanam kurute. Lokastadanu vartate. Sayat pramanam kurute. Lokastadanu vartate.
So now we should know some of the important things in our tradition, in our culture. What are the important factors, some of the factors? Our way of life is what is governed by two factors. Raga, Dvesha. Our way of life, Raga, Dvesha. Our own Raga, Dvesha. We can lead our life according to our whims and fancies. Raga, Dvesha. Our own whims and fancies. Our personal vision. What we think our life should be. Our own personal vision. Which we call it as Prakriti. Our own natural, our own Swabhava. Our own nature, our Raga, Dvesha. Swabhava, Raga, Dvesha, Prakriti. All are synonyms. So we can use it according to any of those things. So, that's a person can, like, you know, someone has the truth. So, a person can lead a life according to the dictates of his fickle mind. Whatever is my mind telling, I can do. Fickle mind, whatever mind it is. Whatever he feels like doing, he would like to do. So, this is one way of life. Many people are like that. I want to eat this, I go eat this, that's all. I don't look at whether it is good for me. I don't do whatever I want to do. So this type of life is never accepted by the scriptures. Scripture never accepts this life as a proper life at all. Because Raga Dvesha can lead to misery. Raga Dvesha can mislead us completely. So scriptures never accept this life as a proper way of life. In fact, those people who lead, when I say a few things like this, you know, you have to understand them properly. Those people who lead such a life, they are called Shudras. This is what scripture says. Janmana jayate Shudra. A person, all people, regardless of whatever caste they are, all people are born as Shudras only by birth. A Shudra, who is a Shudra? Shudra is a person who lives according to his whims, his own whims and fancies, according to his own nature, according to his Prakriti. they are called prakrita purushaha. Prakrita purushaha means nature person. They just live according to what they think. It's like a child. They allow, scriptures allow a person to remain in this field up to certain point in time, say up to age 6-7. Up to 7 years, they say you can be like this. Because for a child, you cannot tell what is good, what is bad, the child cannot understand. So anybody who is born a Shudra, and the scripture allows a person to remain in that lifestyle up to some point in time, up to age 7 years. Then at that time, when the child can understand what is good and bad, at that time, the child is converted to have another birth, karmana dvija uchyate, by doing proper actions, by initiating him into proper actions, that person is born again, dvijaha, he takes a second birth. So first birth is to the physical parents, and the second birth is to the guru and to Gayatri Mata. So this is called the dvijaha, for him the upanayana sakarma, that symbolically gift makes the person to be called as born twice. And this symbolic karma of upanayana is for all the three varnas. Brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, all of them have this. And they are all called the dvijas because a person who is not this is a shudra. So he is allowed to be a shudra after age 7, for whatever time it is. And then he cannot remain like that forever. He cannot be a prakrita purushaha forever. He has to become a samskrita purushaha, a person who is a refined person. Refinement comes out of proper deeds, proper actions. So he is initiated into doing proper actions symbolically through this ceremony called the Upanayana ceremony. And this is there for all the three varnas. Okay. Others, some people have left. Now it has become, before the day of marriage, they have to have this Upanayana samskara. It has become like that today. No, they are supposed to be started right at this time. They should be taught the scriptures. They should be taught the proper way of life. They should be initiated into doing proper actions. So, karmana dvija uchyate. He is called a dvijaha by doing these proper karmas, getting initiated into these karmas. Veda padena viprahasyata. By learning the scriptures, he becomes what? A scholar, a vipraha. He knows what is good, what is bad. He knows all these things. He can be a very knowledgeable person. But still he is not a jnani. He is only a scholar. Veda patena viprahasyat. Brahmano Brahma Vedana. The one who knows Brahman alone is called a Brahmana. So all of this he can, at best he can be a vipraha. He can be a scholar. But if he has to be called a Brahmana, then he should know what is Brahman. He should know Aham Brahmaspi, that jnanam should be there. Only when that is there, he can be called a Brahmana. Okay. So he should now, a person, now a child will do things according to whatever it likes. Right? It will eat this, it will not, you cannot tell the child, oh, this is not good, this is not bad. You may only frighten the child or beat it, but the child doesn't know. It will still eat whatever it will do anything, wherever it wants, it just do anything. But it is governed by its own instinct. The child is governed by its own instinct. So we say, a person janmana jayate shudra. So up to that point, the person. So up to the 7th, 8th year, a person can remain in that domain. But after some time, the person has to change. So after a certain period, our life should be governed by another factor, not our ragadvesha anymore, not our swabhava or prakriti anymore, but it should be totally another factor that is called dharma. So our life should be governed by dharma later. Our life can be governed by our nature up to some point. But after that, it's not by your swabhava. You should be guided by dharma. That is the harmony, which is what is proper, what is righteous, what is good, what will bring me shreyas. That is dharma. We should follow that principle. So initially, our life is governed by prakriti, and later, our life should be governed by dharma. Right? So, the moment we bind our life with dharma, from that time only, we get the name a human being. Up to that, we are called a prakrita purushaha, an animal person. Now only we become a human person, only when we get the life oriented by dharma. Until that point, it's not a human being, it is only a prakrita purushaha, an animal person, animalistic person. So when it becomes a dharma governed life, we are called a dvijaha. So that is the transition point symbolically represented by this particular karma, dvijaha. The animal person becomes a human person. or a Sudra becomes a Dvijaha, so by Prakrita Purushaka becomes a Samskrita Purusha. So naturally the question will be, how to know what is Dharma? That will be the next question. So you told all these Dharma should get fine, that's all fine. But what is this Dharma? You are talking Dharma, Dharma again and again. What is Dharma? I don't know what is Dharma. That's the question. I should govern my life by Dharma, that's what we said. But when we say what is Dharma, what is the source of knowing this Dharma? What is the Pramana, the authoritarian text for telling Dharma? Then we have got three sources for this Dharma. In our tradition, normally they prescribe these three sources, three main sources. Of these three, the first and the most fundamental source is the Vedas. Vedic scriptures are the fundamental scriptures which tell what is this Dharma. So, all this said is called Atato Dharma Jignasa. Actually, this Jaimini wrote this Purvamimamsa. Purvamimamsa regarding Dharma. That alone is called famously known as the Purvamimamsa later. And it is where he said what? Atato Dharma Jignasa. What is Dharma? What is to be done? What is not to be done? This is Atato Dharma Jignasa. That's how it is starting there. So, it is that Vedaham Akilaha Dharma Moolam. Vedokilo Dharma Moolam. The entire Veda is accepted as the Moolam, the root for the entire Dharma. So, Vedas are considered the fundamental source for this Dharma. That is the fundamental source. And thereafter, the Vedic Dharma has been imbibed by the rishis. The rishis have taken it. They have understood this Dharma by their own means. And they have given out this Dharma also in a simplified manner through what are known as Smriti Granthas, through their work. Vedas are apurushaya, not made by a human being. But the rishis got them and they tried to tell people what they have understood in a language that common people can understand, and they wrote what are known as Smriti Granthas. These are all smritis written by human beings. A rishi wrote it. Parashara Smriti, written by Parashara. Manu Smriti, written by Manu. All the Puranas, written by Vedavyasa. So, all these things were all written by a person. So, for example, if it is Manu Smriti, the words belong to Manu. The words alone belong to Manu. But idea is where? Vedas. Parashara Smriti, words belong to Parashara. Idea is Vedas. All the Vyasas, whatever Purana, Ramayana, the entire Itihasa, written all by Valmiki or Vedavyasa. All these things, words are these rishis. Content is Vedas. So, everything is taken from the Vedas. So, everything is originated from the Vedas. So, Gita also, Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna says that the words only are his. All the words in the Bhagavad Gita are mine. But ideas are not mine. They are from the Upanishads. They are from the Vedic scriptures. That's what he says. He is going to say, actually in the 13th chapter, we are going to see Rishibhi Bahuta Gitam Chandobihi Vividaihi Pratakam. Yes, he is going to tell that at that time, all these rishis, they have brought all these things from the Vedic literature. Arjuna, in the Vedas, everything has been already said. I am not telling anything new at all. Krishna is going to say again and again. Then why I am telling this now? It is already said there. Why should I tell that at all? Why? Because the Vedic wisdom has become weaker. People are not capable of understanding the Vedic wisdom anymore. They have become mantabuddhis. People whose intelligence is blunted. So they are not able to understand the Vedic wisdom. So people have to come. They have to take avatara. God himself has to take avatara to re-establish the Vedic dharma. So I have to tell this again because I want to revive the Vedic wisdom. That is why the words only are mine. Content is Vedas. So such work where whatever is given in the Vedas are retold by the rishis. These are called Smriti Granthas. Itihasas, Puranas, Gita, they all fall under Smriti Granthas, Smriti texts. So, written by later people, in keeping with the original text. There is one. So, Vedas, Smriti, two sources. These two sources, there is no problem. Smriti elaborately deals with whatever is given there. For example, in even certain dharma, like Satyam Vada. Satyam Vada is given in Vedas. Satyam Vada, Dharmam Chara, all those things are given in Vedas. But in Smriti Granthas, Satyam Vada will be a crypt, two words. But Smriti Grantha, there will be an entire Harishchandra Upagyan, a huge chapter after chapter of Harishchandra's story, all dealing with only one aspect, namely Satya. So whatever Veda says Satya Madha is elaborated so much. Same thing with Matruvaki, Matru Devo Bhava, all the Pandavas listening to Kunti's words, Pitru Devo Bhava, Dasharatha's words, Rama is king, Rama is avatara. Still he listens to Father's words. సో ఆచార్య దేవోభవ అతి దేవోభవ ఏకలవ్య స్టోరీస్ ఆచార్య దేవోభవ వాట్ ఎవర్ ఆచార్య హాస్ ఇన్ ద స్టోరీస్ సో దీస్ ఆర్ ఆల్ థింగ్స్ విచ్ ఆర్ గివెన్ ఇన్ ద ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ స్టోరీస్ బై పర్సానిఫికేషన్ ఆఫ్ ద ఫ్యాక్ట్ వాట్ ఈస్ గివెన్ ఇన్ ద వేదాస్ సో దే థాట్ బై పర్సానిఫికేషన్ ది ఐడియా విల్ బి కమ్యూనికేటెడ్ బెటర్ ఫార్ కామన్ పీపుల్ సో దిస్ ఈస్ ద వెరీ వాల్యూ బికేమ్ యు నో ఇట్ బికేమ్ ఎ వాల్యూ బికమ్స్ అ పర్సన్ What is given as a value in the Vedas becomes a person. For example, Dharma becomes a Dharma Devata. It's a person. Dharma becomes Dharma concept, becomes a Dharma Devata person. Knowledge becomes Saraswati, person. Wealth becomes Goddess Lakshmi, person. So you personify a concept to communicate it better to the common people. So that they will understand it better. So in the entire Bhagavatam, we will find Shrihi, Hrihi, Bihi, Kal, Bhayam, all those things are Devatas. For everything, there's a devata. They put all, personify all of them. So if, for example, Yama, you know Yama, Yama Dharma Raja, if he is Senadhipati, if he is the general, who are his, say, all his soldiers? All this disease, plague, all this, whatever, if they are his soldiers. The soldiers of Yama, because they command country people. Right? They are his soldiers. So we find a wonderful concept of personification to communicate the idea. People normally say Hindus have a million gods. You know, they don't understand what we are trying to tell. There's no million gods. It's only personifying a value, a concept, so that it will be understood by people better. Common people can understand it better. So this is done in the Smriti Granthas. They do that. Then we will find, in spite of all this elaboration, Smritis have put a lot of stories and all. Lot, we can always find a new situation which is not given in the Smriti Granthas, which is not discussed in the Puranas. There is always some new situation will come. Because Puranas have addressed a lot of things. But new things are always coming. Because society is changing. Society constantly changes. So situations always change. So there will be always new situations which is not addressed by the Smriti Granthas. It's not given there at all. For example, in America, do we have to do Shraddha or not? One day early morning, 6 o'clock, 5:30, 5:45, somebody calls me. India is only Karma Bhumi. America is not. Should we have to do Karma here or not? Or if you do Karma in America, will it have any benefit? Early morning. I bet somebody is calling and asking. People have all these questions, right? They can always, they have. So by doing Shraddha Karma in America, will it give any benefit to me or not? Is it relevant at all or not? Question. It's not even in Manushmati. Does it say Shraddha if you do in America, you will get benefit or not? Manushmati, it doesn't say that. Manusmriti does not address this question at all. Right? Because Manusmriti never, such a context never existed in Manusmriti time. Right? So those questions might arise because of the changing times and changing situations, changing people, changing habits. All these things can come. So when new situations arise because of new social conditions, new ways of life, then what should one do? What is the basis of Dharma? How one can? Because Smritis, they cannot discuss it. Vedas, beyond somebody's knowledge. And how are we going to interpret when new situations, such situations come? Then the rule is set, the rule set is called Shishta Achara. That is the third source. First source Vedas, second source Smriti, third source, these are our Dharma. Source for Dharma. Third source is called Shishta Achara, Shishta Achara. This is the third source, the way of life led by Shishta. Shishtaha, those people who lead a Vedic life, who are Vaidikaha, who are Shishtaha. These are the people. So there are so many people who have led a life according to Dharma. According to Dharma, such noble people in the society, either they are in the past or in the present. In the present also there are a lot of people who lead a life according to Dharma. Their way of life itself becomes our guide. That is the third source. So if there is not Smriti, you cannot find an answer. Vedas, you cannot find an answer. You follow those noble people, how they lead their life. You take it from them, how your life should be led. That is why you should be always in the company of noble people, so that you see and learn from them. They don't have to sit you in a place and teach. You observe what they do, and you follow how, in under different circumstances, how they have been conducting themselves. You observe, and you follow that as your guide for your following. So this is called, this Veda only, because they live according to Dharma. So it's all Veda only, but in a way, how it could be followed. As you know, in the Taittiriya Upanishad, ಅದೇಕಾದ ಕರ್ಮ ವಿಚಿಕಿತ್ಸಾವಾ ವೃತ್ತ ವಿಚಿಕಿತ್ಸಾವಾ ಸ್ಯಾತ್ ಏತತ್ರ ಬ್ರಾಹ್ಮಣ ಸಮರ್ಷಿಣಃ ಯುಕ್ತ ಆಯುಕ್ತ ಅಲುಕ್ಷ ಧರ್ಮ ಕಾಮಾಸಿಗು ಯಥಾತೇ ತತ್ರ ವರ್ತೇರನ್ ತಥಾ ತತ್ರ ವರ್ತೇತ. ದಿಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ದಿ ಉಪನಿಷತ್ ಸೇಸ್. ಇಫ್ ಯು ಹ್ ಗಾಟ್ ಸಮ್ ಡೌಟ್ ರಿಗಾರ್ಡಿಂಗ್ ಎ ಕೋರ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಕ್ಷನ್ ಅಂಬಿಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಪುರಾಣಾಸ್ ಆರ್ ದ ಸ್ಮೃತಿ ಗ್ರಂಥಾಸ್, ದೆನ್ ವಾಟ್ ಯು ಡು? ಏತತ್ರ ಬ್ರಾಹ್ಮಣ ಸಮರ್ಷಿಣಃ. ಫಾಲೋ ದೋಸ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ who follow that noble life and conducting themselves under different circumstances. Follow them. Brahmanaha means those who follow the Vedic way of life. Such people, the noble way of life, dharmic way of life. Sammarshinaha means who have understood dharma and adharma. Who do not just blindly follow because somebody said they have understood what is dharma, what is not dharma and follow according to them. So yuktaha, ayuktaha. They cannot be threatened, or such people cannot be threatened or barred, because you want to give them, you can bribe them and you can get something. You cannot make them change their opinion because you will give them $1 million. No. These people are always committed to dharmic way of life. Such people, they are courageous because they won't change anything, their opinion, and at the same time they are all committed to that thing. So they will pass the right judgment without any partiality whatsoever. Even if it is against the king, if it is something against the king also, they will not say anything wrong. That's why called yuktaha. And ayuktaha, they are fearless people. They are people, for the sake of dharma, they will even die without compromising anything. Such noble people, follow them. So whatever be their way of life, let that be your guide. That is called shishtachara. Shishtachara. And the Veda itself says, suppose there is a shishtachara, but it happens to be against. So now let us say, another situation we can take. We are taking so many situations. Now there is shishtachara, but it is against the principle given in the Vedas. Then what will you do? For example, Vishwamitra, great rishi. We want to follow Vishwamitra. Vishwamitra is the rishi who gave us Gayatri Mantra. Right? We want to follow him. But Vishwamitra had an affair with Manaka. So even if rishis had an affair with Manaka, you know, I am after all an ordinary human being. Why cannot have it? Can you do that? No. Because it is against Vedic principle. So you follow Vishwamitra for whatever his qualities as a rishi. But if he has violated Vedic dharma, you cannot follow them. Because their shishtachara doesn't hold. Only Vedic dharma holds. So Vedic dharma is pramana. You follow shishtachara wherever it is not against Vedic principles. If it is in keeping with the Vedic principles, follow them. If it is not in keeping with the Vedic principles, doesn't matter. Don't follow them. You cannot go and follow those people at all. So that is why shishtachara, it is always a thing which we have to use our common sense. And also Durvasa, says Durvasa, great rishi. But anything you will get angry and immediately give a shapa. So that portion you cannot follow. Durvasa, that portion, no. Oh, rishis, he also got angry. Why cannot I? I'm an ordinary mortal. Can't I not get angry? No. You can't get angry because that is not what you should follow from him, because it is not in keeping with Vedic principle. So if anything is not in keeping with the Vedic principle, so even if it is a shishtachara, followed by a great rishi, you cannot follow them. Because Vedas are pramanam, they are the fundamental text. So this is how, so these are the three sources of our dharma. Vedas only, but the other two are derivatives. The Smriti Granthas and shishtachara. And for the children, who are the examples? Parents only are the examples. Parents are the examples at home. At school, teacher is the example. So normally, you know, people, a policeman's son always would like to become a constable. Because constable is the biggest job. Yeah, he's a policeman's son. That's what he thinks, that's the biggest job. So normally, for the children, parents are the guides. And teachers are the guide. So because they are the guide, now look at the responsibilities. The children are going to get what the parents are doing. So parents should be always careful. Parents should be always should be able to conduct themselves according to the tenets of dharma. Otherwise, the children is going to take that example. And now if they take as a wrong example, they will conduct their life like that. Their children are going to follow this father, and their children are going to follow this. Yeah, entire society will be screwed up. So that is how this becomes a very, very great thing. A person should be able to set an example. We are now trying to talk all this, talking for what? Loka Sangraha. Loka Sangraha is the topic. What is Loka Sangraha? We are trying to understand now. How to set the standard. So that's what we are trying to talk now. So the ruler becomes a shishta. The teacher, ruler of a kingdom. King becomes a shishta. A teacher becomes a shishta. Parent becomes a shishta. Means what? The person who sets a standard for another person to follow. So for a kingdom, Yata Raja Tata Praja. The way how the king is, the people are going to be like him. So same way. So they cannot violate Dharma. All these people who have the responsibility to set a standard in society, they cannot themselves violate Dharma. It will not only affect them, but it will not only affect them and their children, it is going to affect the entire society. So the life of the parents become they will influence the child even at a very, very early age. Before the child even understands what is right and what is wrong, it is going to influence the child the way the parents live. Unconsciously, it is going to get into the minds of the children. Okay? So if the parents quarrel all the time, the child thinks, oh, that is normal. So parents are only quarrel. That's what the child is going to think. So we should not allow. So father telling lie, father trying to ill-treat the mother, father trying to ill-treat other people, all those things are bad qualities. If they do that, they are going to ruin the children, because they may not be participating in any of it, but they are observing. How much the children get, we can never gauge. They get a lot. So they can understand a lot of things which we don't know. They don't tell many things to us. So in the case of teacher also, Krishna says, Arjuna, you happen to be a Kshatriya. And so your activity is not only going to affect you, but it is going to influence the next generation also and the further generations also. And if it can influence, it can be a positive influence or a negative influence. It can be either way. It can be advantage or it can be a disadvantage, depending on how it is. So Arjuna, you have a double personality for yourself and also for the next generation. Both you have to take care of. And if the next generation, if it is bad, who actually has to be blamed? Only this generation. Because the next generation followed from this generation whatever was given. So if they are bad, normally what we say, every generation says this. In those days, things used to be, everybody, you said, your grandfather said, his grandfather also said the same thing. In those days, things were all very nice. Now only things have become bad. We are saying this now, 10 generations later, they will say the same thing too. So human nature is like this. They always will, it was something better earlier. So, who are bringing all these bad things into society? The present generation. All the movies are generated by whom? Not by the children. By us. And they are going to mold the thinking of the children tomorrow. Right? So, Krishna says, as we respect our elders, we worship, they are going to influence the future generations, so they should be worthy of that respect. They should conduct themselves according to the tenets of Dharma. So he says, yati yati shreshtaha acharati tati tati itaraha janaha. Itaraha janaha, we have to supply acharati better. Whatever a senior or a superior person follows, yati yati shreshtaha, superior person, senior person, acharati follows, the other people also automatically follow. They follow the same thing. It is a psychology. It's not something, it is a psychology, that's how it is. So yati yati shreshtaha acharati tati tati itaraha janaha acharati. Then, saha, yat pramanam kurute. Pramanam becomes a standard here. Whatever standard that person sets up, the senior person, elderly person, whatever standard he sets up, that becomes lokaha tadanuvartade. Lokaha tadanuvartade. The world generally follows that standard. So, whatever standard is set by that person is followed by the world. And so, Arjuna, you might not require karma for yourself. So, you may not need to fight the war. You may not need, because you are a jnani, you think you are a jnani, you may not need karma yoga, you don't have to worry about duties, you can, dharma, adharma, you are beyond all of them, you are a jnani, you may think all that. But even though you may not require for yourself, the next generation requires them. So you have to maintain dharma. This is your duty, maintain dharma for the sake of next generation. Even though it is not for you, it is for the next generation, even though it is not for you. So loka sangraha means next generation. That is what you have to do this karma because of loka sangraha. Name parthasti kartavyam.
Name parthasti kartavyam. Name parthasti kartavyam.
Trishulokeshu kinchana.
Trishulokeshu kinchana. Trishulokeshu kinchana.
Name parthasti kartavyam. Trishulokeshu kinchana.
Name parthasti kartavyam.
कर्मणि
वर्तते कर्मणि वर्तते
ವರ್ತಯೇವ ಚ ಕರ್ಮಣಿ
ಮಾನವಾತ್ಮ ವಾಕ್ತವ್ಯಂ ವರ್ತಯೇವ ಚ ಕರ್ಮಣಿ
is now only continuing the same idea, elaborating loka sangraha topic. We said it is going to go up to shloka 29. So even a jnani has to continue his ashrama dharma for the sake of loka sangraha. So even a jnani, if he is sannyasi, whomsoever it is, if it is a sannyasi, he will do sannyasa ashrama dharma. If it is a grihastha, he will do grihastha ashrama dharma for the sake of loka sangraha. As an example, Krishna is quoting himself. You take me. Krishna says, you take me. What do I do? Oh, Arjuna, look at myself. I have nothing to achieve in this world. Krishna has anything to achieve in this world? No. He is avatar. He is God himself. He is Bhagavan. I need not to karma for chitta shuddhi. Krishna doesn't have to do any karma yoga for chitta shuddhi at all. He is a jnani. He is Lord. Right? I don't require atma jnanam. Because I don't need mukti. I am Lord. Sakshat Bhagavan. I am ever liberated. Jnani I am. Right? Actually in the fourth chapter Krishna is going to say, I am the avatar of the Lord. Krishna is going to say himself. So, the Lord cannot have any sadhana to be performed by Krishna. So Krishna says, once I have come to this world, as the Lord, I don't have anything to perform. I don't have to do any karma or anything. But once I have come to this world, I have taken this avatara and belong to a particular community. What community? Kshatriya community. Krishna has become a king. He is a king. He is a Kshatriya community. And to a particular ashrama, grahastha, married, Rukmini, all those things. So, he is grahastha ashrama. I have to follow those duties of that grahasthashrami and also of a kshatriya. I have to follow, even though I am king, I have nothing to achieve. But still I have to follow for what? For the sake of loka sangraha. So I have to do that. So even the Lord, when he comes to the creation, when my Lord Vishnu became Lord Rama, he has to follow loka sangraha. For that he has to follow duties, dharma. Same thing Krishna also, he has to follow the rules of the game. Because he has taken an avatara, he has become part of a society. So Rama did it, Krishna is doing it. So Rama need not prostrate Dasharatha at all. Because Rama is Lord Vishnu. Why should he prostrate Dasharatha? But he will do. Not as a human being. But in the world, Rama is the son of Dasharatha. For the sake of world, he is the son of Dasharatha. So implicitly, he has to obey the father. So in Valmiki Ramayana, he writes what? That every time Rama goes to Dasharatha, he prostrates. Valmiki writes on this. The moment he goes to Dasharatha's court, immediately namaskar. There are forests to learn. So whenever you see your parents, always do namaskar. So he also did his all the Nityakarmas. All these Nityakarmas. Not looking very sound, right? Nice. No, not at all. How can?
There was one small thing, sorry.
Yeah.
Kaushik did one day, he was very tired and he was helping me, helping me and Kalam Kutin. Rama was doing to his parents. That was when he was young. He was very small.
Now he has become.
He has that experience. So when you said that Rama was prostrating his dad, I still remember what he told us in exams.
And you told at that time, now you forgot. How can you remember what you said 10 years ago, right? No. Okay. So he also did all his Nityakarmas. Rama did all his Nityakarmas. He did Sandhyamara Karmas. Everything he did because he prostrated all the rishis because he took the avatara. He became a human being. So Krishna also follows all his duties. Kushela is a guest. So he did Atithi Deva Bhava. All the things, whatever care he could take for the Atithi. Kushela. He was taking all those things. So both of them went to Gurukulam together. They were friends. In spite of being the source of all knowledge themselves for loka sangraha, they have to do that. The Lord will do that. So Krishna says, Arjuna, look at me. Hey Partha, me kartavyam na asti. Me kartavyam na asti. I have no duty at all in this world. I am Lord. Right? I have nothing to accomplish in this world also. By doing all these things, am I going to get moksha? I am already in moksha. I am already Lord. Not only in this world, Trishu Lokeshu Kinchana. Not only in this world, in all the three worlds, I have nothing to achieve. There is nothing to me. I see all the three worlds are functioning because of me. I have nothing to achieve. In all the three worlds, I can happily go away somewhere, but I don't. I don't. Why? Na anavaptam avaptavyam. There is nothing that is not accomplished by me at all. Nothing that I have to accomplish in future. I have nothing to accomplish in future also. Then what do I do now? Varte evacha karmani. I do remain in my respective duties in spite of all that. I don't even question. whether it is a good duty or a bad duty. No, I just keep on doing my duty. Because here itself you see, what is my duty in the battlefield? Who am I? I am not even a Plymouth driver. I am after all a horse carriage driver. I am a chariot driven by horses. So I am a Kudram devotee, right? I am taking a horse carriage. That's what is in...
Jet
car, whatever it is. No, they call it by a different name in Bombay. What do they call it? This
Godagadi.
Something else. No, Godagadi is right, but they call it by something. So because here itself you see, what is my duty? That is my duty. And at the end of the day, what should I do? I should clean the horses. Right? The master had, you know, he was driven in the chariot. I have to clean the horses, give them food. I have to clean up the chariot for the next day. All the work to do, I have to do. I'm not asking whether they have good karma or bad karma. I'm doing it. Because that is the job I have taken, I'm doing it. So it is, and so all these jobs, I do not grudge. I do not grudge. I implicitly obey. Sena Rubayar Matye, Ratam Stapaya Mechuda. So I go put my chariot in between them. You ordered, I'll do it. That's what he does. I am just only a chariot. I am a person, just only a driver here. So once you are in the world, you have to follow the duty. There is no question, two questions about it. So, varte ye vacham karmani. That's what you are supposed to do. Yadi hyaham na varteyam.
Yadi hyaham na varteyam. Yadi hyaham na varteyam.
Jatu karmanya tantritaha.
Jatu karmanya tantritaha. Jatu karmanya tantritaha.
Yadi hyaham na varteyam. Jatu karmanya tantritaha.
Yadi hyaham na varteyam. Jatu karmanya tantritaha. Yadi hyaham na varteyam. Jatu karmanya tantritaha.
Mama vartmanu vartante.
Mama vartmanu vartante. Mama vartmanu vartante.
Manushya partha sarvashaha.
Manushya partha sarvashaha. Manushya partha sarvashaha.
Mama vartmanu vartante. Manushya partha sarvashaha.
Mama vartmanu vartante. Manushya partha sarvashaha. Mama vartmanu vartante. Manushya partha sarvashaha.
Now Krishna tells, if I do not follow dharma, what will happen? If I don't follow the duties, what will happen? These are all commentaries of the first shloka, 21st. Yadyadacharati Shrestaha Tatya Devata Rojanaha. That line which we read there in the 21st shloka, these are all explanations for that. I am a Kshatriya Grahastha. I am Krishna. I am a Kshatriya. I am a Grahastha. So if I don't follow the duty, what will the world do? That's what Krishna asks. The world will take me as standard and they will disobey. That's what they will do. Right? So he says, Yadi Aham Karmani Na Vartheyam. If I do not remain in the field of action, and that too what? Atandritaha, without laziness. Without laziness, tirelessly, relentlessly, alertly. If I don't remain in the field of action without these things, manushyaha mama vartman anuvartante. All the people, manushyaha, will also follow my path. If I am not alert, they will not be alert. If I don't follow my duties, they will not follow their duties also. Vartma. Vartma means path, the way of life. Vartma. Sarvashaha, by all means. By all means, they will try to break it. Jatu, always. Especially in the negative direction. Actually, normally people try to follow only the negative things first. Whatever you do the things, you may do 100 good things. There may be a few bad things only you might have done. They only will appeal to the person first. He will follow only that first. All the 100 will be remaining still. So this is normally nature of people. So manushyaha mama vartmanu vartante. So because we all have one weakness. What is that weakness? When the elders also show similar weakness, we justify. Right? They themselves have done it. Why not? That we always try to justify that. So we always will justify to follow them for the wrong things. Because justification is their justification. That is why the elders should have an extra responsibility all the time. Whatever they do, they should do it correctly. They should not try to compromise here and there. At least, you know, they should impress upon the children that they cannot compromise on values anytime. So these are all things which are not taught sitting in a place. They are taught by observing how you conduct yourself. If you told a lie, the child is going to follow. Oh, you yourself told a lie that day. That may be white light, but black light doesn't matter. Light. We always say white light is right. There's a white light that is floating around these days. Okay. So the elders should always, they have an extra responsibility. So Krishna says, Mama Vartman Vartante Manushyaham Partham Sarvashaha. By all means, they will do the same thing, whatever I am doing. So if I am doing a wrong thing, they are also going to be doing the wrong thing, which is not good for the society. And entire society might get misled because the way I am conducting myself. So even though I have nothing to achieve myself, I am Sakshat Bhagavan myself, even then I have to follow my duty and follow the tenets of Dharma, because it is going to otherwise set a bad example to the people in the future generations. Okay. So we will continue the discussion next class. Yoveda Dhavuswara Veda Tasya Parasamadeshwara Vishnathana.